T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Pantridge filling in for Sturge, hanging out with Diesel, hanging out with you guys until 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up later on in the show, we still got plenty to get to. Man, that first hour flew by. Time is absolutely flying. I want to try to get to this Matt Kuchar story. I think that's very interesting. Matt Kuchar is pretty much stiffing his caddy, just giving his caddy $5,000 when he should have gave him about $130,000. How cheap can you be, dude? Really? You're worth $47 million and you can't break off a guy $100,000. Come on. Yeah, you're better than that. I want to talk about that. I still want to get to this really weird injury that we'll try to get to at 5:55 today. Baseball is the king of odd injuries, and there's a weird injury in baseball that happened recently that I want to get to. It's been announced what the NFL Thanksgiving Day games are. It got announced a couple days ago, and it looks like they're going to announce what the opening game is going to be pretty soon, and it might not be the Patriots. And I want to have a discussion on what is the best day of the sports calendar, of the actual calendar year. Is it Thanksgiving with football? Is it New Year's Day with college football and hockey? Is it Christmas with the NBA? Is it the NCAA tournament, the first day of the NCAA tournament? There's lots of days. There are lots of days you could pick from. I want to have that conversation. Also, I want to play a little Would You Rather coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. But right now, I wanted to talk about some Twitter trolls. Do you guys get a lot of trolls here on ESPN Upstate on Straight Up with Sturge? You got a lot of people trolling you?
We're lucky because the Upstate is very nice. Now, Sturge,
yeah,
personally, gets the trolls.
I could see that. Yeah, yeah. I could see people trolling.
And Sturge doesn't know when he's being trolled.
Oh, really?
So Sturge will get very upset with people.
Oh, no, you can't.
You can't.
You're feeding the trolls.
You either have to make them laugh,
yeah,
or ignore them.
Yeah.
That's the only way to handle them.
Yeah. Well, Jay Glazer, of course you know Jay Glazer, he got upset with the trolls.
Oh,
he had a little bit of a meltdown on Twitter, and there are two ways to go about it. You can just ignore the trolls, and everybody has trolls in some way, shape, or form or fashion.
I think having trolls is a signal that you've made it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like hate is good. You want hate. Nobody hates losers. Nobody hates the Buffalo Bills because they've sucked forever. Nobody hates the Bills. Everybody hates the Patriots, and the Patriots got 6 championships. I'd rather be the Patriots than be the Bills and have everybody love me or not care about me. So you need, especially if you're in entertainment, if you're in radio, television, you want hate, man. Hate's definitely good for you. So Jay Glazer tweeted, I got this from the New York Post. I guess Jay Glazer was speculating that Odell Beckham Jr. might be traded. The Athletic's Jay Glazer went out on a limb Wednesday in forecasting when asked for a, quote, bold prediction for the offseason that the Giants would deal their $95 million star wide receiver. And he said, I think that's bold enough. The notion attracted eyeballs, curiosity, and perhaps an Odell Beckham tweet. Beckham even tweeted, like he tweeted about it, and he tweeted emojis. And I love how he tweeted like a zipper-faced emoji and like a blushing emoji. I love how we report on athletes tweeting emojis now. Like that's a story. Like we used to have like embedded reporters in locker rooms, and we still do. But ESPN does this. Everybody does this. All these news gathering organizations in sports, Fox Sports, CBS. People will talk about athletes tweeting emojis now as an actual story. It's crazy.
Yeah, imagine having one guy whose job it is to watch these athletes' Twitter pages.
How much do you think that guy gets paid? He probably gets paid pretty well, right?
Yeah, I'd say he probably makes about $23,000 a year.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
he gets paid to monitor and just show it to his boss, and his boss is the one who makes it a story.
Yeah, like that's got to be the most thankless job on earth, just to sit there and sift through thousands of Twitter pages and thousands of tweets just to find LeBron James tweeting a couple of eyeballs. And
Twitter makes it easy, though. You can set up lists. You could say top 10 athletes on Twitter. Boom. Yeah. Here's LeBron.
Okay.
Here's OBJ. Here's Ronaldo. Boom. Just want to focus on these guys' tweets.
How do people find out? Do you know how people find out? Like, let's say Antonio Brown, for instance, and I still want to talk about him. Antonio Brown recently unfollowed the Steelers on Twitter. And how is that reported? Who's the guy that finds out who unfollows? How do you even do that? Do you literally go through all of Antonio Brown's people that he follows, and then you notice one day that he's not following the Steelers? Because nobody gets a notification. If you unfollow somebody, I'm not going to get a notification from it.
Well, you can. There are some people who are so who get so hurt about that stuff.
Yeah.
And they will tweet you, "Why'd you unfollow me, bro?"
Oh, I know.
Because they have these apps on their phones that help them track who follows them and who doesn't.
Yeah, I don't care who unfollows me. Like, I've had people unfollow me, like friends unfollow me. I've had friends on Facebook unfriend me that because of, political things that I won't discuss here. I don't care. I don't care. I don't on Twitter if I follow a friend or a colleague and they unfollow me, I don't unfollow them to try to get revenge. I'm just okay, whatever.
Because they definitely don't care.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't try to unfollow them. But how does somebody that has nothing to do with it know? I guess you literally have to go through all of their followers
every day.
Yeah, that's your job. That's your life, man. That's a sad life.
There's got to be a way to monitor. There's got to be a program that somebody's developed.
Yeah, I'm sure
to monitor someone else's follow list.
Yeah. So Beckham, he tweeted the zip mouth and the blushing emoji. But Jay Glazer went off on trolls on Twitter. For all you F sticks, and he actually I'm assuming F sticks is French toast sticks. It's got to be, right?
Totally. Yeah. Fish sticks.
Yeah, fish sticks. There you go. Yeah, well, he actually wrote it out in the tweets, and it's still up there, I'm pretty sure. He didn't take the tweet down. "For all you F-sticks who spewed S at me, my kid, my mom, and my mom's kid, my kid's mom, my head size, body size, intelligence, my mom's intelligence, all because I made a prediction about your team today," Glazer wrote Wednesday night. "Save your ridiculous effing insults for S that matters in life." I like that. I like it when people go back at. I like it when people go back at the trolls. There are two ways to handle it. You can just let them troll away and just don't give them that satisfaction, because that's what they're looking for, is for that reaction. But I like it sometimes when especially big time people like Glazer just go off on them.
Well, sometimes you get corporate mandates. Don't go after the trolls.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever fire back at trolls? Do you get a lot of trolls? I know.
Don't get a whole lot of trolls. Yeah. I think I don't. They don't mess with me.
You're a likable guy. I wouldn't mess with you.
Yeah. Plus, if they do troll me, I just scroll right past it. It's out of sight, out of mind as soon as I scroll past it. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
I always wonder how famous people handle it, because they literally have thousands upon thousands of people trolling.
Oh, so you're not referring to me as a famous person.
No, not so much. Yeah, you're getting there. You're definitely getting there.
But 5,000 followers, not bad. Nothing to shake a stick at.
5,000?
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
7,000 on Twitter.
Okay. What do you got, 5,000 on the IG? On the gram?
About another 5,000 on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a big deal. I had no idea. Well, what do you post on Instagram?
What do I post on Instagram?
You a selfie guy?
No, I try not to.
Yeah.
I feel weird posting selfies.
I don't do selfies.
That's one of those things that makes me different from my generation, is I don't like posting selfies.
Yeah. No, I don't like to. I don't like them either. And they're I follow one lady on Instagram, just somebody somebody I worked with in a prior life, and she posts nothing but selfies. And it's like it's the same face in every photo.
Yep.
And it's like, if you look at her Instagram, it's like the same picture, but it's like 6,000 pictures of the same thing. It's like, what? It's just kind of creepy.
And she's got 47 likes.
Yeah, like total.
Or 47 followers.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. See, this is why I don't consider myself a millennial. I was one of the last few raised in a time where I didn't have social media available to me.
Oh, okay.
As a child. Yeah. Social media didn't come into existence really, or come into my lexicon until I was midway through college.
Okay, I got you.
So I grew up without it.
Yeah.
So I don't need this constant validation of posting photos and, you know, telling people where I am all the time. I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate tagging my location. I don't want people to know where I am.
No, absolutely not.
I hate that.
How old are you?
34.
So you're on like the good side of millennials.
Right.
Yeah. Like I like the 30. The millennials in their 30s are cool. You're kind of like Gen Xers, basically. You're like,
that's what I was. And I was reclassified as a millennial, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, just call yourself a Gen Xer. Like, I don't even know where it comes
from. Gen
off.
Y. I'm a Gen Yer.
Yeah. Well, aren't they behind you? I don't know. It's very confusing. And like, if you go to different websites to try to find out what's a millennial and what's a Gen Xer, Gen Yer, I don't know. So like, I think I'm a Gen Xer. I'm 41.
There you
I was
go.
Born in 77. But like, you don't, like, if you're 34, the 34, 33, 34, 35 year olds that I know, they act like normal human beings. They act like adults. They're not millennials have a certain, most of them, not all of them, but about 98% of them kind of have this stigma about them where they're, you know, kind of lazy and bratty and soft. And it's like, well, a lot of it's true.
I do enjoy watching the evolution of millennials on social media, because you can see, especially on Instagram is where I see it the most. It's always the hot girl who's now taking nothing but photos of her butt.
Yeah.
And it didn't start out that way.
Uh-huh, yeah.
It started out as her life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned into selfies. And then it turned into this. And now it's butt photos. And now it's creative ways to take butt photos. And now it's, this is the way I'm going to take a butt photo challenge. And now everybody should do this challenge. Like, it's stupid. Just shut up.
Does a butt photo have a nickname like a selfie? Is it like a buddy or something? Or like I guess it'd be a
buddy.
Booty. It's a booty.
A buddy. I like it.
Yeah, a buddy. Yeah, you gotta come up with a cool name.
Hashtag buddy.
Hashtag buddy. Send us your buddies on our Instagram. I'm at Pants Party Radio. What's your Instagram?
Diesel on Radio. I make it easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we streamline that. We streamline that thing. So I love the fact that Jay Glazer was going after the trolls. This, as far as I know, this guy hasn't hit back at the trolls, but this is just funny. Sometimes the trolls actually win. Sometimes I'm on team troll, and in this case, I am. I saw this story today as well. Kirk Cousins tried to hold a giveaway for Vikings fans on Twitter, and it turned into an absolute disaster. There's a good chance Kirk Cousins is never going to hold another giveaway on Twitter. This is from CBS Sports. And ever again, after what happened during the Vikings quarterback's most recent attempt, at some point this week, Cousins decided he wanted to give something away to a lucky fan. And since he's a nice guy, and Kirk Cousins is a very nice guy, he asked fans for their input on what the giveaway should be. That's when things went off the rails. First, here's the tweet that Cousins sent out. The season feels so far away, so I want to do a giveaway to keep all you Vikings fans excited. What do you want me to give away? And Kirk Cousins, of course, signed a 3-year, $90 million contract.
Give away $30 million.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he didn't do anything. The Vikings missed the playoffs. They went to the NFC Championship game with Case Keenum, and a lot of people thought they'd be a Super Bowl team with Kirk Cousins, and he was disappointing, and they were disappointing. And he put up a little poll, like, would you rather have me give away a signed jersey, a signed football, a signed mini helmet, or other? And lots of people were chiming in with other, and then the tweets started coming in. One guy said right away, this is not going to end well for you. and it certainly didn't. What do you want me to give away? Your contract. What would you like me to give away? What about a signed resignation? What would you like me to give away? Give away some money back to the Vikings, please. That's another good one. Give away yourself to another team. Some of that cap space. Have your guaranteed contract so the team can sign a quality tackle to protect you, or half of your guaranteed contract. Give back some of your contract so your team can build around you. Your contract so the Vikings can...
Noticing a theme here.
Yes, your contract so the Vikings can trade you. How about this one? 3rd and 7, why don't you throw it for 8 yards, not 6? How about a win against a team with a winning record? That's a good one, because the dude has never won. I don't think he's won like 2 games against teams with winning records in his entire career. Kirk Cousins has been the most overrated quarterback in football for years, because all of his stats are like empty calories.
I aspire to be that guy.
Oh, yeah.
To be overrated and well-paid, and then one day you're just like, okay, ride off into the sunset with your fat wad of cash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like Jay Cutler kind of thing where, like, yeah, he got paid forever, and everybody hated the guy, but he's rich. Yeah, Kirk Cousins, he just, I don't know how he earned that money. Because, well, he throws for 300 yards every game because he always throws two interceptions at the beginning of the game, and they have to catch up, and they lose 24-21. He's the ultimate, like, empty calorie quarterback where there's just really nothing there. And finally, somebody chimes
in. He's the Michelob Ultra of quarterbacks.
Yeah, he is. It doesn't even get you drunk. Yeah, it's like beer that barely gets you drunk, and there's like no calories. There's like three carbs, but it tastes like water, and it's just, yeah, there's just nothing there. That's pretty much Kirk Cousins for you. So I thought that was funny. I love it when trolls troll people I don't like. And I don't like Kirk Cousins. I've always disliked him because he's just absolutely terrible. But speaking of Jay Glazer with his tweet, because he was tweeting about Odell Beckham Jr., I want to talk about him. I want to talk about OBJ, because now there are trade rumors that Jay Glazer came out with, among others, that are saying that Odell Beckham Jr. might be on the trade block. Earlier this week, we had Antonio Brown from the Steelers saying that he wanted to be traded from the Steel City. So, should the Carolina Panthers make a move for Odell Beckham Jr. or Antonio Brown? We'll tell you on the other side. This is Straight Up with Sturge. It is Straight Up with Sturge. Without Sturge, Jeff Pantridge filling in for Sturge. We're going to be here tomorrow as well, but we will not be here during this time. We will be filling in actually for Mark Ryan, for Offsides with Mark Ryan. Mark's taken off. He's been here for a week and a half, so he needs some time off. So he's going to take off tomorrow. We're going to fill in for him, but it's just going to be a shorty. It's going to be the shortest show I've ever done. We're only going to be on an hour and a half tomorrow. Is that right?
It's almost hard to prep for an hour and a half show.
Should we even prep? Like, I don't know. I guess we could just come in and BS for an hour and a half. I guess we'll prep. Yeah, we'll do some prep. We'll definitely have some prep for you tomorrow.
We'll talk sweetest neck beard.
There we go. Yeah, we're a couple of beard bros. We're gonna have to. Should we do a selfie? We talked about how much we hate selfies.
I think we need to get a ruler and see who's got the longest beard.
Oh, okay. Well, I can do it. I think I got
it's
your
close.
Beard. Yeah, it's definitely.
You might
definitely
have me
close. Beat. Yeah, I used to. Last year, I had like a really long beard. It was like. I don't want to say Duck Dynasty because I don't like those guys. More like ZZ Top. It was like half of a ZZ Top beard, and I had to get rid of it. It was just too much.
I just figured you're waiting for it to go full gray so you could take up your second career as a Santa.
Yeah, maybe. As long as it pays well, man, I'll do it. I don't want those bratty kids sitting on my lap, though. Hey, I don't need that in my life.
The first Santa with a stool next to your chair.
Yeah, sit don't over come. There.
You got a 5-foot rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, tell me what you want from over there.
Yeah, I'd be totally okay with that because those kids stink, man. You know, they smell, they're dirty, they'll probably kick you in the knees. The kids are brats.
Truth is, every child is filthy.
Yeah.
And I know there's parents all over that say, oh, my kid's clean. No, your kid's dirty.
No, all kids
it's
are dirty.
It's okay.
Yeah, I was dirty.
Your dog is dirty too. No, yeah. My dog's clean. No, your dog is filthy.
Oh, dog's cleaner than a human. Dog's mouth is cleaner than a human mouth. And yeah, I still don't want your dog
licking
my face.
Dogs lick parts of themselves that humans can't lick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta love that. Odell Beckham Jr. And Antonio Brown are on the trade. Actually, you know, should we get to this call? Should we get to this call about trolls first? Yeah, let's get Gator Neal on the line. Wants to talk about trolls. What's going on, Gator Neal?
What's up, Jeff? Man, I got a funny story for you.
Yes.
I don't consider myself a troll, but I like to stir a little crap every now and then just to get people started.
That's a troll. That's a troll.
Early December.
That's exactly what a troll is. Yeah, that's exactly what a troll is. If you're stirring crap
it's
to get
just
people
for fun,
to stir. Oh, yeah, but that's trolling.
That's trolling.
Like, and there are ways to troll where you can be malicious. Like a lot of trolls on Twitter will, like, you know, tweet at women for their weight or whatever, or men for their weight. You can be malicious, or you can do it just to goof off with people. I'll troll friends all the time, you know, so you do that. Still a troll.
Okay, so I'm watching a football game and they show Erin Andrews.
Yeah.
Who I really cannot stand. I just don't like her. So I got on Twitter and I sent her a message I tagged her, and all I said was I thought she was money hungry when she went out and sued the hotel for the guy peeping Tom. What she should have been worried about is the guy going to jail, and that's it. And I said that I thought she looked like a witch because she does. She's got a pointy nose, and that's all I meant by it. I didn't mean any harm.
Okay. That's trolling.
That's trolling,
you're,
dude.
You're trolling. Listen, you're talking about her appearance. You're trolling her.
Not thinking in a million years with her having 5 million followers that she's going to respond.
Okay.
She does.
Yeah.
She tags me back, and she responds, and she even calls me out because on my profile I say I'm a Christian. She calls me out for that. She goes on to say, don't be like everybody else and delete the tweet. And then she blocks me. I usually average about 25,000 impressions per month. I had 212,000 impressions that one day.
Yeah, of course.
I had so many people writing me, blowing me up. Yep. It was amazing to me.
Yeah, that's
over something simple. And I didn't even mean anything really that negative. I was just pretty much saying that I thought that she was wrong for trying to
sue her.
And hideous. You called her ugly.
You called her a witch. You said she had a pointy nose and you called her ugly.
I didn't call her ugly. I said she looked like a witch. I mean,
witches are ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, Glenn, maybe she'll look like the good witch.
Sarah Jessica Parker witch from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, exactly. Or Glenda the good witch, of the North and the Wizard of Oz.
I'm going to challenge Gator Neil to go look up the trolling episodes of South Park where the guys all believe that they're not actually trolls.
Oh, yeah.
But they're all trolls.
Yeah, they're all trolls.
Go look them up, dude. Yeah. If you've never seen those episodes, you got to check them out.
Yeah, that's trolling 101 right there.
I didn't mean anything by it. I just told her she was a disgusting hose beast.
Yeah, that's trolling, bro. That's absolutely trolling. And you know what, Gator Neil, we love you, but yeah, I'm glad she called you out, and I'm glad she put you on blast in front of all like 5 million of her followers. That's what you get. You know, if you're gonna attack the beast, if you're gonna try to wake the sleeping giant, sometimes they might come back at you. That's how it goes.
If they got a big enough fan base that cares about them, whatever it is you're trolling, they will come after you twice as hard. Because guess what? There's probably 200,000 of them, and there's one of you.
Yeah. Exactly. Don't poke the bear, man.
You might wake up 10 or 15 other trolls who are like, yeah, you are a disgusting witch.
Yeah.
But you'll have 200,000 plus hitting your inbox right now.
And how, like, what has Erin Andrews ever done to him? Like, Erin Andrews is fine. Is she, like, annoying? She's never annoyed me. She does her job. She does a great job.
Is it the fact that being one of the early, let's call it like it is, being one of the early ESPN honeypots.
Sure, yeah.
Did people look at her like she lacked any credibility because she was brought on as a good-looking woman?
I early on, I'm sure they did.
People
still do. People still think that she doesn't do anything, but she knows her stuff.
ESPN has been really good over the last probably 6 or 7 years of bringing in very, very good-looking female talent on their stations that know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They know. I mean, like previously, you could say, oh, this is the bimbo who doesn't know anything. She's just on there for her looks. But Erin Andrews knows what she's talking about.
There was somebody, and she was on Monday Night Football for like 1 year. I think it was Lisa Guerrero, I think was her name. And like, she didn't know anything. And everybody this was before social media. Everybody crushed her. But now, I mean, now you have so many beautiful women that know a ton, that know way more than I do about sports. And there's, ESPN does a great job, Fox Sports, all of them, CBS. They all have some phenomenal people on board.
I think most of the female hosts know more than the male hosts.
Oh yeah, yeah, no doubt. You go on if you watch watch First Take, and I like First Take. A lot of people don't like it. I enjoy watching it. I think Molly Caron probably has more knowledge than Stephen A. or Max. Molly
Caron's just louder.
Good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're louder, and they get paid to argue with each other. Where she's just kind of moderating, but Molly Caron knows her stuff, man. Like I'm a big fan of hers. I'm a big fan of a lot of the women on ESPN. I love Carrie Champion. I think she does a phenomenal job. Michelle Beadle is amazing.
Fantastic.
She is amazing. I've always loved her. She's hilarious. She's brilliant. She's cool. Like everything about her. She's professional. She's exciting. I love me some Michelle Beadle. She's the absolute best. Don't troll the ladies out there. You know, it's Valentine's Day. Yeah, why are you trolling ladies? Why are you trolling Erin Andrews on Valentine's Day? Send her something nice. Send her some love. Say, hey, you know what? Why don't you send her an apology, Gator Neil?
If you were to tweet Adam Silver and tell him he looks like Nosferatu, you wouldn't be wrong because he does look like Nosferatu.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that. Not on Valentine's. Leave Adam Silver alone. You're just hating on you're hating on Adam Silver because he's the NBA commissioner, and we're sitting here at a radio station, messing around.
Well, we were talking about this earlier. They brought this up that apparently the NFL sought out Adam Silver to, I guess, come over as their commissioner. And
oh yeah,
it would have been a brilliant move for the NFL because I don't know. Does Adam Silver get a whole lot of hate from fans in the way that Roger – because nobody is. Nope. I don't think anybody's been as hated as a commissioner of a sports league as Roger Goodell.
Roger Goodell's approval rating has got to be like 8%, if that. I mean, are there even 8% of people that like him?
There are 32 people who like him, and they're all owners of NFL teams.
Yeah, exactly. Seriously, though, like he nobody likes that guy. And he does not have – he probably has, I would say, the worst favorability rating of any commissioner since I've been alive. Faye Vincent wasn't very popular, I remember, with baseball. Right. He certainly wasn't that popular, but I think Goodell's probably has a lower approval rating than Faye Vincent ever did. But the NBA Silver, everybody loves him. Everybody, for the most part, loved David Stern, too. He started this whole thing with the NBA because he pulled the NBA out of the gutter, man. The NBA in the 70s, it was on tape delay. The league was in serious trouble. You had Magic and Larry come in and Jordan after them. But David Stern had a lot to do with the growth of the NBA as well, with the global expansion of the NBA. That was kind of his lasting legacy. And now your boy is continuing that. Silver's continuing that, and he's got all sorts of innovative ideas that nobody's done before, including involving gambling, which is a good thing in my mind. So he's got everybody seems to like what he's doing in the NBA, man. I never would have thought this, but I'm telling you, maybe 10, 15 years from now, I think the NBA is going to be the number one sport in America.
I just can't believe that Roger Goodell doesn't look at what's happening with the NBA and say, you know what, maybe we should loosen up some of these restrictions.
Yeah.
Maybe we should adopt a little bit more of what the NBA is doing and some of their policies,
sure.
Some of their overarching policies. Now, there's specific things that it's apples to orange comparison with the two different sports, but I might have oversold that in saying 32. I think it's only 30 because we all know Jerry Jones and Bob Kraft both hate his guts.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, definitely.
But they make money with him, so.
And the Packers don't have an owner, so 29. We'll say that.
His friends are falling off fast.
Yeah, if you're the NFL, do you consider? I mean, I would consider bringing in Silver.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Goodell.
Can you pay him enough to pull him away?
I don't know. I wonder what he makes. I wonder what they make. Like Goodell, I mean, Goodell makes like $30 million a year or something stupid like that. He makes like a ridiculous amount of money. There's no way that Adam Silver, I bet he doesn't make half as much as Roger Goodell. I'm pretty sure Goodell makes around 30, might even be more. And I would think if I had to guess, I'd say Adam Silver probably makes, I don't know, about 15. That's my guess. Well, we're looking it up to see how much they make. But yeah, if I'm the NFL, I'm absolutely considering that. Also, with Roger Goodell, I don't think he's going to be around forever anyway. I think he's going to probably want to get out maybe a little quicker than Tagliabue did before him. I could see Roger Goodell stepping down in the next 5 years. I could absolutely see that because he's made a ton of money and he's probably got a lot of stress in his life. And he just nothing seems to go right for Roger Goodell. I still want to get to this story about Odell Beckham Jr., and I want to get to the story from yesterday about Antonio Brown. So we're going to do that on the other side. I want to give it plenty of time to give it some breathing room. So coming up next, should the Carolina Panthers trade their first-round pick for Antonio Brown, or should they possibly consider giving up a little bit more for Odell Beckham Jr.? We'll tell you on the other side. Still got plenty of stuff to get to on the show today. Still want to get to this Matt Kuchar story if we can. We got this baseball player with this odd injury. I want to play some Would You Rather. What's the best day of the sports calendar? We got too much stuff, man. And that's a good thing. I guess that's a good problem to have. We got too much stuff and not enough show. And that's definitely a good problem to have in February, where the news isn't, there's not a lot of news out there. It's kind of the doldrums right now. It's not as bad as June, July, but February is pretty rough. Once the buzz of football wears off, once that week after the Super Bowl, you can still kind of, you can still get that NFL buzz. And then it's like, okay, now what? So you start looking towards the offseason. And the other day, we had Antonio Brown in the news yesterday, unfollowing the Steelers on Twitter and demanding a trade. And today, we have more rumors that Odell Beckham Jr. Might be traded from the New York Football Giants. And, of course, the Giants have denied those rumors, as they should.
Somebody put Zach Brown on suicide watch.
Oh, yeah. Why is that?
Wellness check on Zach Brown. He's I don't think he's ever set foot in the state of New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Giants fan.
Okay.
He's the guy who called in and, and railed off three streaks for the Miami Hurricanes the other day.
Even
though they haven't won a game since, you know, 1994.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they haven't won anything that matters since Clinton was in office, I don't think.
Ouch.
Yeah, so the Giants have denied the Odell Beckham rumors, and their GM, Gettleman, said, like, bro, basically, paraphrasing here, like, why would we sign him to a long-term deal if we're just going to move him? Well, maybe because you don't really have much else. You have Odell Beckham Jr., who's a generational talent. You have Saquon Barkley, who's a generational talent. And you got 51 schmucks on the Giants team. You really don't have much else. And the Giants are in rebuild mode. And so there are two ways you could go about it. I mean, you could think, okay, let's just blow this up and get rid of all the big contracts. Or you could say, well, wait a minute. We have Odell Beckham Jr. He's a generational talent. Let's keep him and rebuild around him and rebuild around Saquon. Draft a quarterback. Draft Haskins, or maybe draft Kyler Murray with that first pick and start that rebuilding process. Or if you're the Giants, you could probably get a pretty penny for somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. Yesterday, a lot of people were speculating that the Steelers could get one first round pick for Antonio Brown. If you can get a first-round pick for Brown, what can you get for Odell Beckham Jr.? Now, I'm not saying that OBJ's better, because I don't think he is. I think Antonio Brown is slightly ahead of Beckham right now. As it stands, I'd say that Antonio Brown is probably the first or second best receiver in the league. I would put I'd put DeAndre Hopkins at number one, Clemson guy. I'm not just doing that because you were in Clemson country, because he's for what he's had with his quarterbacks, now he's got a decent one in Watson, but he's never had a real true threat on the other side, and he makes some amazing catches. And he can run all the routes. Hopkins is the most complete receiver in the league, as far as I'm concerned right now. Antonio Brown probably number two, and I'd have Beckham probably in the, you know, in the top three or four. That being said, though, Odell Beckham Jr. probably going to get a little bit more than Antonio Brown because he's younger. Antonio Brown's 30 years old. He's going to be 31 in July, so he'll be 31 when he straps on the cleats next year for whoever he plays for, versus Odell Beckham Jr. is 26. So that's he's 4.5 years younger than Brown. So Beckham's going to have more tread on his tires. So the Giants might be able to get, I don't know, first and a second for Beckham. They might even try to ask for two number ones. It's not the craziest thing that's ever happened. I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, and back in the day, I think the year 2000 or 2001, the Bucs, they traded two first-round picks for Keyshawn Johnson. And Keyshawn certainly wasn't on Odell Beckham Jr.'s level, not even close. So maybe the Giants can get two first-rounders for OBJ. And the Panthers, that's a steep price to pay for Odell Beckham Jr. You only have one first-rounder this year. You'd have to give up another one next year. I don't know if I probably wouldn't do that if I'm Carolina. But I would absolutely consider trading for Antonio Brown. And this is why. Because their coach, Ron Rivera, old Riverboat Ron, and their GM, Marty Herney, they're going to be on the hot seat this year. Their seat was somewhat warm last year, and they did not get fired. And I thought that was the correct move. I didn't think they deserved to be fired. But with Dave Tepper in there, he's a guy that wants results. He's kind of a mavericky kind of owner, to quote Tina Fey. He's kind of mavericky. He's kind of he wants to make splashes. And so I think if the Carolina Panthers stood pat this year, then they're probably not gonna do much. I don't see them maybe getting to the playoffs, but losing. If you're Herney and you're Rivera, you might want to make a splash to save your own jobs. So we'll see what they do. If I'm the Panthers, that's what I would consider going after Antonio Brown, because You're giving up the number 16 pick for him. He is 30 years old. Well, that's not 30 years old in running back years. 30 years old in wide receiver years. He's still got plenty of time left. He's probably got four really good years. Four excellent years, as long as he doesn't act like a knucklehead. He's got four excellent on-field years where you're producing top five, top 10 numbers. And the number 16 pick, you don't know what that's going to be. You have, in the NFL, 32 teams, half of these picks, whoever they are, half of these players that get drafted in the first round next year are going to be busts and completely flame out of the league in like 3 years. So you're flipping a coin at 16. Or you have something you know in Antonio Brown. You know how good he is. You know that he's a generational talent. Also, at 16, the first round, usually in every NFL draft, you have about five or six guys that are game changers. And then after that, it's kind of a crapshoot. Like, you get the big-time game changers in those first, you know, 5 to 10 picks. And then it's like anywhere from like 10 to like 11 to 32, you're kind of throwing darts. I'd rather go with the known versus the unknown, and I'm going with Antonio Brown.
So if you're Ron Rivera, are you walking into the GM's office and saying, hey, we need to go get this guy? Because you have to be – he has to know that his seat was hot last year.
Sure.
Those conversations, those backroom conversations have happened. So he knows he's got to swing for the fences. And if he swings and misses, it is what it is. But if he swings and he connects, wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Boom, he's set up for another 3-4 years.
Yep,
at least.
And if you don't swing and it's a strike, then you're out. You know, like, that's the thing. If you don't swing at all and you just say, hey, you know what, we're looking at the long term, they don't have long term. At least Rivera doesn't, and Herney doesn't. Like, you know, the team overall does. Like, the best move, the best move for the team, for the organization, is long term stability. You know, that's what I would want as the owner of an organization. But if you're the coach and the GM and you want to save your job, man, you got to do something. Because standing pat and hoping that and waiting, whoever they draft at 16, whoever it is, you're probably going to have to wait 3 years to see whether or not they're good, no matter what position they play. Rookies usually don't come in.
Yeah, you need talent now.
Yeah, you need talent right now. And if you bring in somebody like Antonio Brown, that opens up so many other things on that offense. I mean, God, the Panthers have never really – they've never had a game changer out wide.
And you sold me.
Yeah.
Sold.
Look at that. Boom. Have I sold you, Upstate South Carolina? Hit us up on the phone lines at 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. You can also get us on the Health Dare text line at 71307. Would you trade the first round pick, the number 16 pick overall, if you're the Carolina Panthers, for Antonio Brown? Or would you maybe try to trade for Odell Beckham Jr.? Or are you standing pat and you just kind of going with what you have and going into that rebuilding process? We can take your calls on the other side. Also on the other side, I want to get to this baseball injury. What is the weirdest injury I've seen in a long time? We'll tell you next. It is Straight Up Without Sturge. Jeff Pantridge filling in, hanging out with Diesel, hanging out with you. Sturge will be back on Tuesday. Really looking forward to his return. I know a lot of you guys are looking forward to the return as well. I'm going to get to the phone calls here in a minute, but I teased this before the break. Angels right-hander Matt Harvey has been sidelined for 10 days with a glute strain. That's right. From the Associated Press, Los Angeles Angels right-hander Matt Harvey will be sidelined 10 days because of a glute strain he felt during agility drills. Harvey signed a one-year, $11 million deal with the Angels in December, looking to bounce back after last season. He went 7-9 with a 4.94 ERA in 32 games, 28 starts with the Mets and Reds last year. Angels manager Brad Ausmus said Thursday that Harvey would miss a minimum of a week and a half. Glute strain, huh? He's like he strained his ass. That's a thing. How does
Matt Harvey do that, though?
It's a good question. Yeah. I didn't know it was possible to string.
Did he not warm up his ass enough?
You got to warm up your ass. Yeah, I guess. Have you ever pulled your ass before? No, I never have. I'm 41 years old. I'm certainly not in the best shape, but I've never sprained my ass. I've never strained my ass or pulled it.
I understand that something only happens to you once you turn 50.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You just get up out of a couch. Oh.
Yeah. No doubt. But yeah, like, and how does the injury report go? Like, what does it say? Like, you know, like you have the injury reports like, oh, yeah, this guy questionable with a shoulder. Matt Harvey out, strained ass. Yeah, I want to see the injury report. I just thought that was hilarious that baseball has these weird injuries, though. Baseball is the king of weird injuries. I remember...
It's a king of repetitive injuries, though. It's the same repetitive motion that causes it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like glute strain. Matt Harvey's out. I remember years ago, David Price, when he was pitching for the Rays in spring training, he hurt his neck drying off in the shower. Yeah, and he was out for like weeks because he didn't know how to towel off after taking a shower. It's like, bro, you're a finely tuned professional athlete, and you don't know how to take a shower.
That's like saying a bowler is a finely tuned professional athlete.
Well, at least David Price, like he's in shape, you know. But baseball players, that's true. They're not really athletes. Let's get Mark on the line. Last segment, we were talking about the Panthers and whether or not they should give up the number 16 overall pick for Antonio Brown, or perhaps even give up a little bit more for Odell Beckham Jr. I think they should make a move. I think the Panthers should absolutely look into going after Antonio Brown because now is the time for Riverboat Ron and for Marty Herney if they want to save their jobs. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Hey, Antonio Brown to the Panthers would be probably the worst possible decision they can make. I could probably list 10 or 15 things they need to do besides that. You know, their offense isn't the problem. The guy's a cancer in the clubhouse. He's an unbelievable talent, but he's also been playing behind a Hall of Fame passer. And Panthers got a lot bigger problems to fix on the defensive end than to go waste a draft pick on a guy who might work out, but with the clubhouse problems and the character issues, there's no way you want to waste a first-round draft pick on him. You know, I'm not sure you want to sign him in free agency just based off that, you know, he's a generational talent, but the Steelers are running him off.
And thank you for the call. The thing is, I get what you're saying. And the reason I'm saying that they should bring him on, it's strictly for Rivera and for Herney. It's in their best interest. If they just draft a kid, they're probably going to go 7-9 again this year, and they're going to get fired. I'm doing what I can to not get fired if I'm the Panthers.
Yeah, you're saying either blow up or flame out.
Yeah, one of the two, but don't stand pat. There's no way you can stand pat if you're the Carolina Panthers. If you want to weigh in on that, you can hit us up on the phone lines if you'd like. Our phone number is 844-GSP-ESPN. That's 844-477-3776. Also get us on the Health Dare text line, 71307. Keyword ESPN followed by your message. All right, coming up next. What is the best day of the sports calendar? Can't wait to have this conversation on the other side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.